Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 18. Thus says the Lord, But if the wicked man renounces all the sins he has committed, respects my laws, and is law-abiding and honest, he will certainly live, he will not die. All the sins he committed will be forgotten from then on. He shall live because of the integrity he has practiced. What, am I likely to take pleasure in the death of a wicked man, it is the Lord who speaks, and not prefer to see him renounce his wickedness and live? But if the upright man renounces his integrity, commits sin, copies the wicked man, and practices every kind of filth, is he to live? All the integrity he has practiced shall be forgotten from then on. But this is because he himself has broken faith and committed sin, and for this he shall die. But you object, what the Lord does is unjust. Listen, you house of Israel, is what I do unjust? Is it not what you do that is unjust? When the upright man renounces his integrity to commit sin and dies because of this, he dies because of the evil that he himself has committed. When the sinner renounces sin to become law-abiding and honest, he deserves to live. He has chosen to renounce all his previous sins. He shall certainly live. He shall not die. And the Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said to his disciples, For I tell you, if your virtue goes no deeper than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have learned how it was said to our ancestors, You must not kill. And if anyone does kill, he must answer for it before the court. But I say this to you, anyone who is angry with his brother will answer for it before the court. If a man calls his brother fool, he will answer for it before the Sanhedrin. And if a man calls him renegade, he will answer for it in hell fire. So then, if you are bringing your offering to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother first, and then come back and present your offering. Come to terms with your opponent in good time, while you are still on the way to the court with him, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. I tell you solemnly, you will not get out till you have paid the last penny. It often happens that the lectionary readings are too short and in danger of being misunderstood without their context. This is true of the first reading today from Ezekiel chapter 18. Really, it is necessary to read the whole chapter to see what the Lord is saying through his prophet. The main point in the section we read is that each individual person carries his or her own moral responsibility. Our standing in the sight of God seems to depend then on what we ourselves have done, good or bad, and not on the behavior of the family from which we come or the people to which we belong. Think of how outraged we rightly feel where a family is punished for the crimes of one of its members. It is clearly just that individuals be asked to carry moral responsibility for their own actions. They cannot blame anybody else, and nor should anyone else be blamed. Or is it as simple as that? Human communities and societies continue to seek justice, equality, and fairness. But these things prove elusive. A strictly just society might seem like the best thing to aim for, but Scripture often warns us against such a thing, and does so by showing us what a strictly just society would be like. Many of the parables of Jesus do exactly this. What the Lord does is unjust, Ezekiel imagines people saying in response to his clear presentation of individual responsibility. Is it, the Lord says in response, or is it not what you do that is unjust with your attempts to shift responsibility? An argument about justice has broken out. Nothing new there. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, is what the Lord says at the end of this chapter of Ezekiel, anticipating a later, more famous text where Ezekiel speaks of the heart of stone being removed to be replaced by a heart of flesh instead. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. The heart of stone is strictly just. The heart of flesh is compassionate and merciful. If there is to be hope for humanity, strict justice is not enough. We need compassion and mercy also. The Gospel reading then shows us where this heart of compassion and mercy is to be found. It may seem at first that the teaching of Jesus recorded here is simply an even stricter justice than that taught in the Hebrew Scriptures. Not just murder, but anger towards a brother, humiliating a brother, cursing a brother, all of these merit the strictest condemnation and punishment, Jesus says. So what hope have we? Well, none if we want to stay within the canons of strict justice. So, Jesus continues, stay away from the altar and stay away from the court until you are reconciled with your brother. Leave your offering, be reconciled first, before you get to the court, which can only offer you strict justice, justice that is blind, and strict justice that is cruel. It is in Jesus and from Jesus that a new heart and a new spirit are available to human beings. Of ourselves, the best we can manage is an approximation of justice. The new heart and spirit brought by Jesus are those of the Father and the Holy Spirit, the divine life that is the source and destination of the world and its history. St. Thomas Aquinas puts it very beautifully when he writes, "The work of divine justice always presupposes the work of mercy in which it is rooted. Divine action is always characterized by mercy as its most radical source." This is revealed already in the prophets, often by their simply reminding us of the impossibility of justice. This divine life of justice rooted in mercy is established as the heart of the world's history by the teaching and actions of Jesus, the merciful and compassionate Son of Justice and Son of God.